over the last 20 years.
Kids don't listen to you now. When I was growing up, it was a long time before the 90s, but still, if your parents said something, you didn't say, I don't want to do that, or why do I have to do that? You just did it.
You didn't send a text to them.
Okay, so you didn't send a text to tell them. That's going to be a different topic maybe someday. I'm not quite getting into where you're going, but that's fine. So how else is communication different over the last 20 years? Gary, you started to hit on it.
Cell phones.
No cord.
No cords, all right? You remember the cords, okay, on the phone? Some of you might even remember the, you know, the tick, 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 right? And then when you got the phone, the phone with the button on it, and when you pushed the button, it did the clicks. So it was actually a button. It wasn't rotary, but it wasn't so far. You still heard the clicks. It was like tick, 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 right? All right, so no cords. The non-cord twisters, you know, that would spin on your phone so your cord didn't get all twisted up. I mean, that was a big thing there for a while because, you know, you get the real long cord and you could walk into another room. You always had to talk, or I remember my mom cooking, and right, and your neck gets hurt, you know. Okay, what's that? Pagers and beepers, right? So, I mean, that was a real advance because now you can touch somebody almost anywhere, not quite like you can today, but that was the start of it, right? If I want to page someone, okay. How else has communication changed?
Television to internet and a desktop computer to a laptop computer to now to a cell phone that we can get information in seconds and live.
Yeah.
And not have to wait till after 9 for it to be free. And
that's right.
Fax
Google.
Machines.
Google. Fax machines.
You don't have to wait.
I hated fax machines. Okay.
We no longer have to wait that.
Yeah.
Well,
CB radios, there's still CB radios out there. Not as many, but yeah. Yeah, so CB radios. Go ahead, Steve, did you have?
I was gonna say shorthand. I see a lot more shorthand in messages. People just wanna get their message across.
Okay, so one way that's different is we're a little more to the point, right? Because as it gets quicker, you can't do everything long all the time, you know, if it's that more frequent, so we kind of get a little, you know, faster to the point. So I want to think this morning about what should the Christian's attitude be towards social media. All right. So we've changed quite a bit. Things are different. All right? So when you think about social media, what do you think of?
Facebook.
Okay, Facebook. What is Facebook?
For me, it's a way of keeping in touch with my family because they live so far away. And I can't see them, yeah. But there's other things on there that
should be on there. There's more that should be than is.
Okay, so we have a phone, and you look at this, I mean, it's a pretty amazing piece of technology. I mean, you know, it costs a fortune. But we call it a phone. How often do you talk on it?
No more than I think one problem we have nowadays with the way we communicate is everything is through technology, and you lose that personal facial expression. It's hard to interpret someone's attitude, someone's emotional state.
Yeah.
When your contact has no visual aspect to it.
Yeah.
I think you lose that, and a lot of times people lose interpretation, and it causes issues.
Yep. I don't remember the exact number now, but a huge percentage. I mean, it's at least 70%, if not more, of our communication is through the nonverbal, right? It's through tone, it's through facial expressions, it's not just the words, what is said, right? It's, you know, even Even your mom or your dad, you know, whoever tells you, it's not what you say, it's, right? I mean, how you say it, and it's hard. Not all of how you say it is just the actual words. It's how you say it, right? Hey, go tell, you know, Cy, have you ever said this? You know, or Vance or Adrian or anybody, but, you know, I could look around, a million of you, okay? Go tell your brother you're sorry. Sorry. All right? Now, you can text sorry, and sorry's all the same. But it's not the same when it's, you know, sorry versus sorry, right? Like, I'm sorry, right? There's a, you can, you, all that's lost, right? All that's lost in the technology. But what are the advances of social media, the advantages of social media? So when you think about the good things, it's not all bad, right? Technology, whatever, there's a lot of talk right now. Thought about doing one on what's the Christian's attitude towards AI, right? And we might, I don't know, we might get there. But there's a lot of technology, there's a lot of question right now and discussion around, you know, is it evil, is it horrible, is this going to, is everything going to take over, or, you know, or is it good? And so there's a good and there's a, you know, there's advantages and disadvantages kind of everything. There's advantages and disadvantages to a self-driving car. You know.
But it's what you make it. That phone you've got can do about anything, but it will do what you want it to do, good or bad.
Yeah.
It's what you make it to be.
Yeah. But what are the advantages? So what are the advantages of social media?
What about Connie's family? All they know hi, so she stays in contact with them.
Okay, so you can stay connected to people through various apps. You know, as soon as social media came on and there's these different apps and because it starts connecting you with, hey, we suggest that you talk to so-and-so who dumped you in high school. You know, this would be, don't you want to get in touch with them? And, you know, this would be great. And, you know, it was 9 years of therapy. So, or these people who bullied you all day or, you know. So, I mean, so it connects us with people. That's an advantage, right? And whether they're good people or not, what are the advantages of social media? It's faster. All right. I mean, it's boom. I mean, you don't have to wait. It doesn't even matter if they're awake. Right. I can get a message to somebody if they're sleeping. I don't have to wait for them. Remember, I mean, somebody had to answer the phone. I mean, it was a big deal when answering machines came on. Like, if you remember pre-answering machines, you couldn't always leave a message for something. You couldn't, you know, and know that they got it. I mean, now you can see it says read, right? And they read it at this time, even if they have that set up or they want to send that. So, I mean, like, I know you opened it at this time and you saw it. But there was a time where you call, nothing, you know, hang up. Then you call again, and you hang up. I mean, you know, you had to do this all the time. You couldn't even leave a message for somebody. You had a...
Sharing of information. I mean, it's a almost instantaneous way to share a large amount of information.
So think how much information is out there on the web, right? I mean, it's staggering. And you can send something out. I mean, even right now, I'm teaching this class in Sanford, North Carolina. And last week, we had an individual in Ghana, West Africa, watching it. And if you're on, good morning. Okay? And so you think about information that can be spread and the amount of information across
just such a large
population, I mean, across the world. And there's this, you know, if someone
gets onto this site or they Google,
they can get on this. Like, there's nothing that stops anybody in the world from watching what's happening right at this moment. Yeah.
Things get credibility by the mere fact of a number of views, a number of likes. You know, a lot of people in their mind, if this has a million plus views or a million likes, this is real credible information. And a lot of times it couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. We'll get to the, yes, but we'll, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
And it's advantageous to employers because they can just flip over to Twitter or Facebook or wherever and get a snapshot of your personality and determine, is this person somebody we want working for this company?
Oh, so we're going to talk about that in a moment, right? So maybe do employers or prospective employers look at, go out and look at your social media profile and your who you are, and do they do background checks? Are background checks just on calling the last three people, right? Or are they looking at a whole bunch of stuff about you and your views on things?
2 weeks ago, this race car driver that was being paid $10 million a year lost his job because he clicked on a like photo 3 years ago. Somebody like that didn't make a comment on it. Didn't do anything. He liked the photo and lost his job. $10 million a year.
My thing is, it's easier for in the medical field too. You don't have to wait weeks for appointments. You can go to my chart, send them a message, and they write you back and tell you.
Okay, so there's medical advantages, right? You can, through COVID, I mean, did you not? I mean, it was the first times I decided, okay, I mean, I know it was just 2 weeks to bend the curve is what we were initially at, but it went beyond 2 weeks, and at some point you get sick or something happens, and I couldn't believe I set up an appointment, my doctor talks to me on the phone, diagnoses me over the phone. It's like, can you hold it a little further, a little closer? It's like, do I need to feel my lymph nodes? I mean, it's the whole deal, right? It feels okay to me. So, even medicine over the phone, they'll write a prescription for you or, those types of things. So there are advantages. There's scale here. There's speed, right? What are some of the challenges or the disadvantages of it? We started to get into some of them. So some is, you've got to watch what you put out there because employers might be looking at, which speaks to when you're putting stuff or you're interacting on social media, what are you creating for yourself?
Personality.
A personality.
An image,
which gives people insight into what?
Your life. What's on
your life.
What you want them,
right? It gives you insight into what they want you to know. For those who are really aware and astute, but for those of us who aren't as aware or astute and just do, and just react.
As in my case, you have to watch out for hackers.
Okay. There's hackers. But does, can you not get a sense of someone's even their character?
Yes.
I mean, do you not get a sense of people's values? And how do you do that? How can you tell or how, whether it's true or not and whether it's accurate or not, you look at posts and you look at what people post and you look at their comments on posts and you make conclusions or judgments based on what?
What you see.
But what that you're seeing? What that they do? What do people do that you either think this way or think that way?
The names that they share, the language they share.
Okay, so the language they use. What else?
Pictures they post.
What else?
What they follow.
Okay, their comments, their opinions on things.
Yeah, that's a good one. What they choose to follow. It shows you what they...
What they follow. Or who they follow.
And when it comes to pictures that they post, that may be personal pictures or pictures that they share from other sites.
Yeah.
We all go to the beach from period of time to time, but do we post pictures that are in a string bikini or do we post pictures that are still modest? It shows you if we live what we preach.
Okay, so there's all those things. There's also what we share or what we kind of forward. We had again, because I have no idea who's watching.
Could be my old boss.
We had a, but at some company, there was a CEO who I was with who was doing a presentation to people, and he was pretty, he was a stickler for grammar, okay? And I remember him telling a group, this is not the most inspirational speech in the world, but I remember him telling a group of, high potential people, we pull these people together, and he got to the place where he says, listen, it's inexcusable for you to have a typo in any of your emails. This is CEO, okay? And if you forward an email that has a typo in it, it's your typo, right? And, everyone, jumped up and clapped and was inspired by that, but kidding, right? The point is, what we forward or what we share, some people will make a judgment and say, you're endorsing that, right? Unless there's some commentary on it, you're endorsing it, or you didn't see anything wrong with that. Okay. What are other challenges? So getting back to some of the benefits are, this is super convenient, right? And we're going to start pulling some scriptures here. This isn't just all of a, okay. But I want to set this up because we don't normally talk about social media. It's super convenient. So just think about this. It is fast. It's quick, right? I think Harry said it's fast. It's so fast that when I'm driving down the road, as I was, Sandy and I just took the RV and went to Rhode Island and back, and I looked over because this semi earlier, he was kind of doing a little bit of this, and as I drive by, he's driving a semi and he's texting, okay, and he's looking down and he's texting. Now, he's driving a semi. It's 75 miles an hour down the interstate, full of traffic. He's weaving a little bit. Like, how much real deep thought is he putting into whatever he's texting? Right? But we do that, right? Whether we're texting, whether we're eating, whether we're in the bathroom, whether we're, just before bed or at 2 in the morning in the middle of the night and we wake up and we think we're completely cognizant, we know what's going on, and hey, let me make some, we read one thing. And a lot of the topics on social media, they kind of generate what in people?
Emotion.
A lot of them are, it's about sensationalism a lot of times. These are emotional topics. Things that are going on, like, can you even turn the TV on hardly and not have people upset on any channel or angry or just absolutely losing their mind in some way? Okay, in any direction or in any whatever, it's just this constant, right, where everybody wants to react, and we read it, and boom, we react, right?
Well, and one thing that goes along with that, too, is once something is out there, it's almost impossible to pull it back in.
Okay, so that was one of them. We got there, so thank you. So, one of the things is that this has a long shelf life, does it not? Like, once something's out, it's kind of out. Like, that doesn't just go away. Because what happens is that you delete it, but depending on how good it was or just how creative you were or however, whatever you were feeling in the moment, you get 3 people share it. You don't know where it went.
They screenshot it.
Or they screenshot it. Right? They screenshot it and then they share it as a photo. Well, you're never going to get rid of this stuff. Right? Like, it's just going to go. All right.
I think that emotion getting lost that she was talking about earlier is one of the biggest problems with it, is that you can't, and it drives me absolutely bonkers. I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but it drives me insane where it's share this or you don't love Jesus or share this.
Yeah.
Drives me up a wall, and I never ever share them because it irritates the life out of me. And you get stuff like that that some people, but especially in religious talk, I do not engage people in religious talk on Facebook or Instagram or any of it, because that emotion gets lost. They don't hear what you're saying. All it is that back and forth. And so with some of that, with creating this personality and whatnot, a lot of mine, I don't post too much at all, but a lot of mine has nothing to do with with religious topics in an attempt to not stir that controversy when we can't control how it's being received. That kind of gets into a lot.
That's right. And so we're going to, right now, we're going to hit on, or attempt to hit on all of that. Turn to James 1. Someone read James 1, 19 and 20. What does that say? James 1, 19 and 20.
This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God.
All right, so how does that have anything to do with what we're talking about?
Everything.
Not being reactionary in what we do.
Okay.
Take a beat and think about it.
Take a breath. I mean, right? Like even at work, right? Don't they tell you an email comes in and you get a reaction? And what do you want to do? I mean, you just want to hit reply and go. Right?
I love when they hit reply all.
Yeah. Or even worse, reply all and go, all right? And they say, if you got to write it, do reply, whatever, write it, and then save it, maybe till tomorrow, and then go back and read it and see if you feel the same way. You know, as human beings, we are designed to return to more of a neutral state. It is hard to stay happy, 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 happy all the time, right? I mean, if someone's happy, happy, I mean, just like all the time, like really happy, there's something going on, right? Like, and if someone is really upset, always down, 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 down all the time, that's not right either, right? We're designed to react to things where we're happy and we're sad. But it's hard to hang on to sadness forever and forever normally. And it's hard to hang on to the super happy forever, right? You come back. And so when something hits us and we get angry or we get upset or we just think that's great, that's the best thing, I need to share that with everybody. Sometimes we ought to be maybe a little slower to react and just wait and say, let me get back into my rational mind and not just my excited mind. And with my rational mind decide, do I need to post this to the whole universe? Literally? That anybody in the whole world, if they want to find this, could find this? Like, is that what I want to be known for or what I want to be attached to? All right. And because it says, right, let every man be what? Swift to what?
Swift to hear.
Swift to hear and slow to speak. So it's take in a lot of incoming, evaluate, and then be careful and slow about what comes out the other side. But that's not what we do in social media. As soon as it comes in, I mean, we accelerate it, right? That's what the world's doing. And even more, because we have to top it. Like, this can't even just be enough. We've got to make it even more exciting. Why? Because what Sandy said, because I need more likes than what you get. Right? I need more followers than who you have. And so I even have to be more outrageous. It's not what the Bible says how Christians should be doing. Right? Comes in, consider it, and consider it. The other thing that Tori's point is that we have to think about is that when we post or when we react, what is your goal? What's your outcome? What are you trying to achieve? I'm not just talking if you're posting something and it's your kid's birthday party and, you know, here's little Sally and, you know, isn't it cute? She's got cake on her face. Okay, fine. But like when we're in heavier matters or you're weighing in on opinions or you're like, what are you trying to achieve? Right, one of the things, and this is why I think relationships are breaking down across the world, is that, you know, I think it's more important to be heard than to be right. Like, you can be right, but if people can't hear you, what's the point? I mean, they have to be able to understand you. And part of the problem is that sometimes this one method of communication that you know, I'm never going to leave my house, I'm never going to talk to a human being in person, and I'm going to do my whole world through this little thing, is probably not the most effective way to build relationships. It's probably not the most effective way to impact people. So you have to think about, what am I really trying to do here? And is, even if I can, and even if it is appropriate, and even if the message is the right message, is this the best method? It might be the right message, but is it the right method? And we need to consider that, because sometimes we only have one shot. And I'm not even talking even just about biblical things or about, you know, trying, but just to keep the relationship or to build a relationship or your influence or your reputation and who your reputation of who you are. I see people commenting on things or, you know, sharing things, and it's all about all kinds of stuff that's going on in the world. I can't imagine those things would ever be said inside the building. Can't imagine those people saying that stuff in the building. I'm not even thinking about anybody here particularly. I've been to several different congregations, and I'm friends. That's one of the things, right? Can almost never lose a friend. Can't unfriend somebody. That would be... All right, so, you know, you see stuff and you're like, wow, really? Like, that's what you're going to say? You're going to put that out there? Have you any thought how that might affect your brother or sister who you might be sitting right beside in a couple of days? Like, we can say that out here when we're not together. But we think about certain causes or certain things that people want to be, and man, we'll post that, and I'm for this, and I'm for that, and everybody who's like this is this way, and everybody who's like this is this way. Do you not think any of your brother and sisters fit into any of these categories?
I remember my dad, he's been an elder in the church for 20 years now, and I remember when the social media stuff came out, that was a huge, huge stressor on him, and the amount of conversations that they were having to have with people, like, hey, know what's going on with, you know, this brother, this sister up here, and you sharing this and you saying this is, you're beating them. You're beating them down. I mean, even still, but especially in huge stressor.
Yeah, it's not good. Yep.
Most of the things I see on my Facebook page is things against our president. And even though we don't agree with him and everything, he is the president. And there's so many things on there that it's just unreal.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about my next one, maybe might be the Christian's attitude towards submission, right? Because particularly as Americans, we have an issue with submitting to anybody, because you know who I am? I mean, you know. But we need to, so yes, and it does have an impact. We need to think about the impact that we have on people. Just because the message might even be right, even maybe what you're saying, you might be saying it in the wrong way, you might be saying it at the wrong time, and you might be doing it on the wrong forum. Are you having the impact you really think you're having? What is the impact? Is it to be known? Is it to be famous? Is it to weigh in? Right? You see those people on social media. So forget all this other stuff. Like, I'm on different mechanics. I like mechanics, right? I'm on different... I mean, the people who are like, you know, like, how stupid are you that you think that you'd have to, you know, torque the spark plug to that kind of level, or that you would do? I mean, it's like, what? Are you really being helpful? Like, what are you just trying to show how smart you are? Are you just trying to show, like, what is it? What is your goal? So think about that every time, you know, we post. What is the goal here? Am I encouraging someone? Am I leaving someone better? In James 3, we're not going to read it. If we had time, we'd look at James 3, 1 through 12. But James 3 tells us what? What's the big message there? The tongue. And what about it?
The use of it.
And what about the use of it?
It can be negative or
It can be good for bad, and if we're not careful, it's more often what? It's out of control. This is one of the hardest things. So forget social media. Even before social media, we go to old school when you just walk over to somebody's hut, okay, back in the day, or their brick home, well, not brick, but their stone home or whatever it is, or their mud hut, all right? The tongue's been a problem forever. And we've just been given a technology in the last 20 years of thousands of years that just accelerate our weakness. It exposes the human condition weakness of being able to control our mouths. This is just another way of talking. And it's quick, and it's instant, and it's a big audience, and everyone gets to hear me and see me, and you know, I can be, and you know, it's reactionary, and we lose the, oh, you know what, I should have some discretion. I need to have some wisdom around this. I should think about it. I should think about what this means to the person. I should think about what this means to people who I'm not even addressing who are going to read this. I need to think about what it means to me in my future. All of those things. Right? But I don't know that we do that. What's Matthew 5:9 tell us? Did you have a comment, Si, or no? Were you stretching?
I was going to say, technology gets a bad rap a lot of times. And kind of your point, you know, for example, the printing press was an amazing piece of technology in its day, and that also got information out fast. But just like the phones and the internet and social media, the catalyst of everything is the human factor with all of it, and we're the ones that follow. It ain't the technology necessarily at fault. It's how we apply the technology.
That's right.
Like I say, our Bibles, that's a piece of technology. Like I said, the printing press, before that, they were, you know, scrolls or tablets or, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, that was able to, but then we took that, now how many versions of the Bible are there and how many of them are off?
That's right.
So it's the same thing, it's just, you know, it's different.
The challenge now is we have a fundamental weakness as a human being around being able to control our speech and our tongues and our thoughts. Even a printing press, somebody had to set up every one of those letters and right at time, and so, and there was a review, and even and, you know, people review stuff today and really think about it and still put garbage out, right? But at least there's some process. Like stuff just doesn't get into a newspaper in 3 seconds. Now there's no review. There's no editor. You're the editor. You're it. This is it. Your best thinking. Your best thoughts. That. Going to go. And so it's everyone, whatever's in their mind, boom, it's just there. It's out. There's no review. There's no one checking it, right? We don't even care how it's spelled. I mean, we don't care. Nobody cares about any of that. It's just, it's out there. We're told in Matthew 5:9 what? This is part of Christ's Sermon on the Mount.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Okay, so you think about peacemakers. And Christians are to be peacemakers. Is there a lot of peacemaking going on in social media?
No.
Right? How does God think about, you know, division and being, you know, where's the whole love your enemy part? Where's the turn the other cheek piece? Right? Where is that? Romans 12:18 tells us what? What's that say? Romans 12:18.
We do our part.
Okay. What does it say? Can someone read that?
If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Okay. If it be possible, as much as what?
Lies within
you. As much as lies within you.
And I would suggest that's not
as much as lies, you know, typically as much as lies within us isn't in the first 7 seconds after we see something. Okay. My will to resist Sandy's chocolate chip cookies when she makes them, as much as I try to be good at times, you know, and limit myself. Okay, they're there. I don't need to eat 10 today. I don't need to eat 10 today. I could eat 20 today. Okay, no problem. I could be a championship in those Nathan's hot dog things. I could eat 200 chocolate chip cookies. And, you know, no, I would be the master. Okay, But is all that lies within me, probably is not my initial reaction in the first few seconds. You have to kind of summon that a little bit, don't you? All that lies within you, get along with people, live peaceably. And are we really doing that on social media? Are we just amping it up? Are we just throwing fuel on the fire? You know, I just want to make everybody needs to know this point. Do they? Do they not know? Have they never heard that position before? You're the one. You're the one. Your extra comment or your extra like is going to be the one that's going to change them from this to this. This post is going to do it. Right? We need to think about that. Is that what you want to be known for? Is there a better way to do it? Are we really interested in them? Or do we want to be heard, or we just want to be right? Do you want to change someone, or do you just want to be right? Is there any pride in that? How does pride fit into social media? Okay. It comes in all forms. Let me tell you, just like Cy said, I'm not against social media. I think it's amazing. There's a fact that we're doing a Bible class, and literally someone on another continent can be listening to what's going on in this little building today. So I think it's fantastic. But it's how we use it. And let me tell you, Satan is all over this. He's all over it in so many ways. And we don't even know it. Make you a little prideful, make you a little more prideful, right? Doesn't it feel good that people look at you this way? Didn't it feel good to say that, right? Well, what's the outcome? Where are we going? As much as lies within us. Titus 3, 9 through 11. What's that? Someone look at that one real quick. Titus 3, 9 through 11.
But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Titus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter.
Okay, thank you. Now there's a bigger context here. Paul said Titus at the beginning in verse 9 to do what?
Avoid
foolish disputes or foolish questions. Why? Why is that? Why would you give that advice?
He says because they're unprofitable and useless.
They're unprofitable and useless. Like, what are you doing? Why are you engaged in this? Why are you keeping this going? Why are you getting wrapped around the axle on stuff that's ridiculous? You don't need to contribute to that. It doesn't bring any value. What are you trying to achieve? Don't get just sucked in because somebody puts a question out there or puts a statement out there. And now we're going to react to it, and then the attention goes from Mr. or Mrs. Crazy Question to Mr. or Mrs. Crazy Answerer. Like, really? You're going to respond that way? Like,
who are you?
Let me click on your Facebook profile. Let me look. Oh, here you are at VBS at the Sanford Church of Christ, and you're kind of crazy. Okay? Yeah.
But the whole point of the class, too, is don't forget it's not just the crazy questions. There can be
legitimate
questions, but that still isn't necessarily the forum to address them.
That's right. So, you know, don't need to jump on the crazy questions. And even the legitimate ones, that gets back to what are you trying to achieve? Is this the best method? Is it the best time? Is it the best way? And you know what? Sometimes the answers to that is yes, it is. Well, good. You've thought about it. Then make your comment, right? Or engage or share. Doesn't mean you can't use social media. It's a good tool. But understand its power. both to encourage and to uplift, but also to tear down, and both yourself and others, right? So thanks for that. The next 2 weeks, Steve is up to bat. So thank you, Steve, for doing that. Thank you all.